Today's guest is fashion designer Jamie Banks, co-founder of Change of Scenery, a luxury women's swim and resort wear startup launching in March of 2022. I can't wait for you to hear her startup story. This Startups and Stilettos podcast episode is brought to you by Hershey's Her For She Sorority. Is there a businesswoman in your network who deserves to be celebrated? Nominate a woman who inspires you to be featured on Entrepreneista social media using the hashtag HerForShe and tag us at Entrepreneistas and at Hershey's. The Entrepreneista Podcast Network presents Startups in Stilettos. I'm your host, Stephanie Carton, co-founder of Entrepreneista Media and Socialfly. Join me and my co-host, Jessica Abo, expert media trainer and journalist, as we help you get ready to launch your startup and put your best heel forward.
I don't know what I would have done without the support of the million different text chains of mom friends in COVID. And I was like, well, this could be like the best mom text chain that you like go to for everything, that you feel supported. And if it makes you do something for yourself, we could inspire confidence in people through product. And we could also inspire confidence in people by knowing that they're like in this with other people that struggle with the same thing.
Have you recently started a business, or are you considering taking the leap to start? Do you find yourself alone or overwhelmed in the whirlwind of early challenges in your entrepreneurial journey? Startups in Stilettos is for you. Learn what it takes to grow your startup from your peers in the startup world and those who are in your shoes, or stilettos, if you will. We're meeting you where you are to get you through your biggest challenges and towards your biggest goals. From the team behind the Entrepreneista podcast, tune in to Startups and Stilettos as you take steps to build your startup from the ground up. Okay, Jamie, share your startup pitch.
Okay. I am the co-founder and creative director of Change of Scenery, which is a women's luxury swim and resort wear startup. We are launching in March 2022. We are an accessible luxury brand focused on styles for the modern and busy woman aged 30 to 55. She wants classic, effortless, and sophisticated swim and resort wear, but cannot find it. This is product that inspires happiness, confidence, and just a little bit of feeling sexy.
How did you come up with this idea? Were you on the beach somewhere, or were you getting ready for a trip and thinking, I don't have the perfect swimsuit?
Well, I've been designing swim for like a little over 10 years. My background, I'm a fashion designer. I've been a design director of ready-to-wear brands for like 15, maybe almost 20 years. And my last role at Kate Spade, I spent like a little over 10 years of my career at Kate Spade. I oversaw about 20 categories. And the most interesting thing, I think, like these days is that every category is so saturated. Like there's so much product in every category. So generally, I think whatever there should be, there is. Like you can find what you're looking for. But in swim, for some reason, like no one is targeting this 30 to 55 year old woman. And it never made any sense to me. Like she has money. She's a professional that is like, you know, finding her own way. She knows who she is. She's confident about herself. She takes care of herself. Like she doesn't let herself go. She probably has young kids. She might not. And it's like she got forgotten in swimwear. Like your only choice is like super sexy or like super complicated with the cutouts and the ruffles and all the things, or modesty. And there's like almost nothing in between. And so really like from all the categories they've done, when I decided that I wanted to start a business, like swim is the one that has the biggest white space for me.
So what made you decide now is the time to finally take the leap and start this business? Take us back.
I did not decide that. Like I said, I worked at Kate Spade a long time. I loved my job so much, like almost to a fault. And our entire team was laid off in COVID. It took a while, actually, I have to say, like they treated us so well. The stores were closed for 5 months. And yeah, they decided to shut down the ready-to-wear division, which of course, like, you know, made sense given that was going on. I thought I would spend the rest of my life at Kate Spade. Like I thought I would get on the Long Island Railroad every single day until I retired. So I spent like a few months sort of like figuring things out. There were certainly no jobs for heads of design at the time in 2020. And I had never networked before. I had no resume. I had no portfolio. I had no LinkedIn. And it took a while. And I finally got a consulting job for a swim company in Florida, actually. And like, it just sort of like made me feel so good to be like back in the game, like doing what I loved. It was a category I always loved. And I felt like if those girls could do it, like I could sort of do it too. But Jessica, to your point, actually, my husband and I got two amazing surprise days at a hotel in Key Largo, Key West, one of the Keys. My parents offered to take the kids for 2 days. And yeah, we were in the pool, like surrounded by palm trees at this hotel. And I was doing this swim consulting job. And he said, you should try to do it too. Like, when are you ever going to have the chance to write a business plan again? My husband is an entrepreneur and writing a business plan is like a piece of cake to him. And I said, oh, hey, like you're going to help me write a business plan. He was like, no, I have a job, but like you could Google it. And I was like, okay. And so he sort of planted the seed. And then like, I spent a little while like figuring out, well, if I'm going to start a company, like it has to have a purpose. Like I'm not going to just put more product out there for product's sake. So it was never the plan. I never planned on starting a company, but not everything that happened in COVID was bad. So here I am.
And what were some of those initial steps that you took to actually bring this idea to life?
So, you know, I decided I wanted it to be swim, but I sort of like wasn't really sure what problem I actually didn't know that you should solve a problem if you had a brand. I knew nothing about starting a brand. I had always worked for brands that had like a really distinct point of view. And I didn't know that. Now I know that's why I loved them so much and why I drank the Kool-Aid and all those things. So I just started like reading some books on it. And I read this amazing book called Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller, which maybe everyone has read. And basically it's like a little cultish, the book, but I really recommend it for anybody who is thinking about starting a brand. And he just talks a lot about how the customer is the hero and you are the guide. And it really got me thinking a lot about, okay, well, if I'm going to have a brand, like we have to solve a problem for somebody. We can't just have more swim. Like the problem is not that you have to go swimming because there's enough bathing suits to go swimming in. So it really got me thinking about like, well, what are the challenges that I knew I wanted it to be like for my friends, the women inspire me, the women that have to feel like appropriate and tasteful with their little kids at the pool and all those things. But like they deserve to feel a little sexy too. Like they're not 80, they're just 40. And the problem I decided was that she never does anything for herself. She never spends time on herself. She never spends money on herself. Like she takes her kids on vacation and everyone has new bathing suits because they didn't fit last vacation, but like she's in her J. Crew suit from 5 years ago. And then I started thinking about like the mom guilt, the work guilt, and like all the stuff. And if I could build a brand that was also like a community of women who like do everything for everyone else and never treat themselves to anything, like I don't know what I would have done without the support of like the million different text chains of mom friends in COVID. And I was like, well, this could be like the best mom text chain that you like go to for everything, that you feel supported. And if it makes you do something for yourself, we could inspire confidence in people through product. And we could also inspire confidence in people by knowing that they're like in this with other people that struggle with the same thing.
Well, I feel like you just described me exactly. And it's so funny to say that because, you know, on your iPhone, how pictures come up from like a few years ago, like remember this day, and a picture just came up of me wearing a bathing suit back in New York, like 5 years ago. And I'm like, oh, that's the same bathing suit I still wear. Yeah. I actually have not purchased a bathing suit since then. And I just get stuff for everyone else and Molly and always taking care of everyone.
Molly has a million new bathing suits every time.
Yeah. All the bathing suits. I have none. So definitely you are speaking my language. And I love how you shared that you spent all this time doing this initial research and understanding, like Googling, writing a business plan. Did you end up writing that business plan?
I did. I wrote an 85-page business plan. I downloaded a business plan template from Creative Marketplace, which I actually like really recommend doing. I think I filtered it down to the least expensive one. So I downloaded three that were $20 each. And basically, like they look beautiful when you go to buy them because they have all the words in them. And then you buy it and it's blank. And I didn't expect that. Like I thought it was going to come with all the words. And then you have to go about like filling in all the pictures and the words yourself. But it's a good way to do it, I think, because like if I just stared at blank pages in PowerPoint, like I never would have gotten anywhere. And the way that the templates work is like there's like everyone's a section. So it's like a mission statement, values, and you know, every part of what I now understand as a business plan. And my favorite part was when I got to the marketing section, I like literally was just staring at it and I had to Google what is marketing, which is crazy because I've worked at like big companies my entire career. And at my last design team at Kate Spade, sat in the pod next to the marketing team. And they were like my friends. I had no idea what they did all day. I had to text my friend, Sarah. I don't know how to tell you this, but I have no idea what you did at work all day. And she was like, why? And I was like, can we Zoom and look at this business plan together? And she literally held my hand and was like, okay, this is what digital marketing is. This is what traditional PR is. They're all different things. Like, that's why there were so many teams of people at Kate Spade. So the business plan, like, it really helped me to understand all the facets of the business. It helped me understand, like, it helped me really put down in words the problem that I saw and how we were going to solve it. And my husband had told me this. He said, you could write a business plan. You don't have to start a business. It'll make you know if you want to move forward with it. And if you don't, then you wrote the business plan and you learned a lot. And like, that's fine. But the more I worked on it, like, the more I started to really believe in it. So that was good.
What was his response when you said, look at what I did all by myself, 85 pages?
He goes, they're not supposed to be that long. His MBA is in entrepreneurship. So I thought he was going to help more, but yeah, he didn't really help with that. He's helped with a lot of other things since then. So not to throw him under the bus, because he's very amazing, but he thought my business plan was too long.
Take us through the next step. You now have this business plan. What did you do next?
So one important piece of the story that I missed. So when I was laid off, I have a woman in my life who has been a mentor to me for a very long time. Her name is Carrie Barnett. She's now my co-founder. So fast forward, spoiler alert, she's now my co-founder. But she and I, so I started Kate Spade Ready to Wear in 2007. And she was one of our first factories. She owns the New York office of one of our first factories, a China factory. We just like hit it off from day one. She was always like a really amazing mentor to me while I was at Kate Spade, when I went to some other companies. And when I was laid off, she was very, very good to me and, you know, constantly checking in with me every week. She produces pretty much every major New York and LA designer's collection. So she knows everybody and she was introducing me to people. But, you know, I mean, she did everything she could. There were no jobs at my level at this point in 2020. And she kept saying to me, Jean, like, we work with all these people and like, you're so smart. Like, they have brands, like you should have a brand. And if you have one, like we'll partner with you. And I was like, that's so nice, but like, I never wanted my own company. And like, who would start a company during coronavirus? And like, you know, all these things. And so it sort of like all happened together. Cause when my husband, John started encouraging me to write a business plan, he was like, and also like, you have this opportunity, like this amazing woman that you've always looked up to and respected could pick anyone to partner with, all these people that got laid off in the fashion industry. And she called you and you're doing nothing with it. Like, you're just wasting the opportunity. So it was sort of like all those things together. So I was writing the business plan to present to Carrie and her husband. And I wasn't really sure what was good. Like, if they said no, I wasn't really sure what I was going to do with it. I would talk to my husband about that. Like, what am I going to do if they don't want to partner with me on this? And he was like, well, you'll either do it alone or you'll look for another partner. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to do it alone. Like, I think I'm only feeling confident in this because of, you know, Carrie's expertise and her husband's and the factory and all these things. So luckily, so basically I presented the 85 page business plan to them, which they did not expect to be that long. I don't even think they expected a business plan. I think they just expected to like talk on Zoom. And I think they really liked it. But at the end they said, of all the things, really swim? And I said, why? And they were like, because swim is so hard. I mean, their partner, the factory in China, they own 9 factories and one floor of one of the factories is swim. So they were like, we're like ready to wear designer, ready to wear experts. Like, really swim? But I was like, that's where there's an opportunity. I promise you. I promise you. And yeah, now they're right there too. They see the opportunity too.
So once everyone seemed to say we're in, how did you actually get this product out into the world?
Well, the product's the easy part for me. Like, that's the part I could do in my sleep. So like I contacted my old print vendors. We looked for prints. We like, you know, started sourcing fabric. We knew we wanted to source sustainable fabric, mostly because it's like the right thing to do. Like, I think fashion's just moving that way. So to start a company now, like I'm like no sustainability expert at all, but it's moving in that direction. And I think that there will be like laws soon and tax breaks and all those things. But like, I think to start a company and just put more product into the world when there's an opportunity to not use virgin materials is just not really the right thing to do now. So in swim, it's like fairly easy to do. Like the barrier is pretty low because there are beautiful, beautiful swimwear fabrics made from recycled plastic bottles and from fish nets that are recovered from the ocean. So we started sourcing that from a few different vendors. And I mean, I've been designing swim for a really long time. So that, like, I knew the styles that I wanted to put out there. I knew what I was missing, what I gravitate to. I knew that, like, I love bandeau suits, but like, if you have anything up top, you don't. So that's not like a good style for a lot of people. And Carrie's expertise is design development, sourcing, production, all those things. So that was easy for us. Like, I can make a collection in my sleep. It was all the other stuff that came as like the biggest surprise. Cause like, you really don't know what you don't know. Like, now I understand that saying more than ever before. And you just like, I feel like the whole year, we just put one foot in front of the other. Cause like all of a sudden, okay, we would have bathing suits and then you need labels and you're like, oh shoot, we need labels. And then you have to figure out how to like source labels and what the labels should look like and the way they get inserted in the garment. I mean, I always had like other teams of people to do that. So I like took it for granted, you know, and then you need hang tags. And then we wanted everything to be recyclable. So then I had to start looking about it. So it's like every month this year, I like read different books and listened to different podcasts. I mean, podcasts can get you through a lot. You can just like search for any, like any topic and you can learn about it in the podcast.
Hey, that's why we have this new show.
Exactly. And
you're now teaching everyone about your early startup days and everyone's going to be able to learn from you, Jamie. So tell us some of the things that you didn't know when you first started. You mentioned marketing, and what else was really challenging for you and what have you learned over the past year?
Well, even things like tech design. So for anyone who doesn't know, like at a fashion company or ready-to-wear company, there's designers who like sketch and design the product, like fabric, color, print, all those things, and the silhouette. And then there's another team of designers called technical designers, and their job is basically to make the garment fit. And I had always, I mean, at different points in my career, I like the technical designers reported to me. I always ran the fitting. So I thought that I knew like everything about technical design. And then when I went to do it without the technical designers, well, if they listen to this, I'm sorry. I really appreciate you guys more than ever now, but I always did. Then I went to do it without them. And I was like, oh my God. Like, cause every time you have someone supporting you, I think you take it for granted because like, you don't always know what everyone else is doing. So I started, I had never networked before. I had never asked for help before ever. I just had to start getting good at it. It was like out of necessity. And I just called in like every favor ever. I called my tech designer D from 2007 to 2010 at Kate Spade. We had stayed in touch like a little bit, but like, I certainly like dropped the ball. Like we had not stayed in touch as much as we should have. And she like dropped everything to create the tech packages with me, like to talk me through how to grade garments from like extra small to small, whatever. I mean, I owe her like everything. And I just kept finding that everything that would come up, I had a woman in my life who was an expert in it and was willing to take their own time to hold my hand and walk me through it. So like one of my best friends is like a head of e-commerce at a big company. And like, I don't know, even things like when we were deciding what to put on the website, like I wanted every color in every style on a model and flat and all these things. And she was like, you can't do that. Like, you can't do everything. And she talked me through like sort of how you build an assortment in a website. And she showed me the heat mapping and how that works and how nobody looks at the bottom of the website anyway. So like, don't spend time on it. I don't know. The biggest thing I learned this year is that I have like these like amazing, amazing women in my life that are like so much smarter and so much more successful than I ever knew they were. Some women, like I didn't even know that they worked and they have these like giant jobs and careers because they were just like my mom friends, you know, and just people were just like really willing to help and teach me. But I think the important thing is like, I always went into it like very humble and like never pretending that I knew anything about it because I knew that I didn't. Like even the things I thought I knew about like tech design or Instagram or like, I think I know about Instagram because I'm like a normal person that has an Instagram account. Like, and I don't have to tell Stephanie, but like there is a science and an art to Instagram. So it was literally just every single thing that came up. And someone told me one time this year, if you want to be a designer, don't start your own company. Cause I never designed anything ever. Like we designed the first collection and then we like moved on from it.
Now you're running a business and doing all of the other things that are.
Yeah. Now I spend, I mean, oh my God, trademark law. Mm-hmm. Trademark law is wild. For anyone that's listening that doesn't know, every name on the planet is trademarked and you cannot have it. And some of them are not trademarked, but they're so similar to a big company that has a similar trademark. And you're just going to like get yourself not sleeping at night ever because you think that they might discover you and sue you. My name is trademarked by like Jay Leno's car garage in LA.
Interesting.
Yeah, because they became so popular because they're Jay Leno's car garage. And so they started making t-shirts. So they trademarked Banks for apparel.
Well, the tip there from everything you've shared is check the trademark site for any name before you start buying domains and investing money building your brand, because it can be very expensive to end up in startup trademark litigation.
I think so. It could be like your whole startup budget is my understanding.
Totally.
Yeah. One of the most challenging things for me this year was the naming in general. Like, I think probably particularly for me, because we knew we didn't want to name it after ourselves. We wanted it to be more about the customer. And we knew that we wanted the name to mean something. And like, brand is really, really important to me. Like, when you work at Kate Spade that long, like, you really like start believing in the whole like colorful and live an interesting life. And like, but that's why I loved it so much. You know, I felt like we were really, there was a customer who like loved Kate Spade so much because we like brightened up her life. And I wanted that. And we got on this like sort of, we wanted the name Long Weekend, because we felt like everyone loves a long weekend and a long weekend is different to different people. And that like, eventually we had a go-to-market strategist, which I really recommend a lot. We like took a pause in the beginning when we decided to partner, and we hired a friend of mine, her name's Joanna. She's brilliant, as a go-to-market strategist. And we just sat for 3 full days once a week, so we could sort of let it sink in between, and whiteboarded, what are we, what are we not, what do we believe in, where do we want to be in 5 years? And it was interesting because I would say, oh my God, in 5 years, if we sell like $1 million in product, and my co-founder was like, I'm not doing this to sell $1 million of product in 5 years. Like, that's such a waste of my time. And I was like, what? You know, so that was definitely like really, really worth it. And so we had come up with this name Long Weekend through that work that we did. And I got really, really attached to it, and we couldn't have it. Someone big, Tommy Bahama, owned it, like really bad, like not like just no one. Tommy Bahama owned it. And it took me a really long time to get over it and to find another name that meant that much to me. And we hired copywriters and we did naming contests. You could do these contests, they're called naming contests, and you sort of like spend a few $100 online, and like all these copywriters from all over the world will submit for you. And we couldn't find it. And then one night I was at my friend Liz's for sushi one night, and I was like just complaining, like venting to her that like it had been months and we couldn't find a name. And her husband came to get his sushi because he ordered with us, and he was listening to me complain. And luckily he's a creative director at Facebook. Yeah. And he was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, I've just been spending all this time. And he's like, oh my God, give me 2 days. And 2 days later, he sent me a list, and Change of Scenery was on it.
Wow. That is incredible.
Isn't that wild? And the takeaway I want to say is that taught me. And from that day on, I tell anyone that will listen what I'm going through in my business at that point in time, because somebody might hear you and like have a suggestion that you never would have asked them for help on.
I love that. I love.
But thank you, Jim. Jim, you're brilliant. Thank you.
We love you, Jim.
Yes.
You tell us, what has been your biggest win to date?
That we got product and we're selling. So I don't know. No, my biggest win to date, probably today. Today was our first day that we sold anything to anyone. And I thought like isn't that exciting?
Okay. Congratulations.
Thanks. We're having a trunk show tomorrow, and some people can't come to the trunk show because they work on Thursdays or whatever. So a few friends, after they could come over today, I was like, I hope it fits people. I hope they like the colors, like all these things. And I figured like, if they didn't like it, they'd probably buy one thing anyway, because they would feel bad that they were in my house and I'm their friend. But like, I have to say, like, each of them bought like 4, 5, 6, maybe 7 things.
And you, they all looked amazing.
I agree. I have really good friends. We had a great day, and it was like the most rewarding thing to see that like, they're not just buying it because they're friends with me and they feel bad for me. Like, they really genuinely like lit up, looked gorgeous, felt good. Like, we're like, well, if this feels good, like I want more. Like, that's the most rewarding thing, you know, like seeing real women feel like happy. And they all took like an hour for themselves between like preschool drop off or carpooling, or they never do anything for themselves, these girls.
That's amazing. Congratulations. And could you have even imagined what you just experienced today a year ago? Is that just like everything you've accomplished over the past year? And to give all of our listeners a little background, Jamie, of course, is in the Entrepreneurista League. And I feel like we've spent a lot of time together on Zoom at office hours and over email over the past year, talking through different ideas and challenges and just being able to watch on the sidelines on Instagram and your stories and seeing all of the, you know, developments in your photo shoot. It's just been so amazing to see all that you've accomplished so quickly over the past year and being able to get all of these resources together in your network and not being scared to ask and reach out. Like that's how you do it. That's how you build a business. And you got all your first sales today, which is so exciting.
I know. But I actually, like, I remember being really nervous to go to your office hours the first, like, we didn't really know each other. And I came to your Entrepreneurista office hours and you knew I was coming. So you like asked me to speak, but I don't think I would have. I think I would have just, I wasn't at the point yet where I was asking people for help or like speaking up. But luckily you said, Jamie, I know you wanted to come and ask me something. And I was like, oh, okay. And like, so many of the things, I don't know where I would be without your advice, Stephanie. So
Stephanie is the best.
The best.
If you don't ask, you don't get answers. So here you are now having this business ready to take off. So we're just so excited for you.
Want a chance to be on the show? We're currently accepting applications from our Entrepreneurista League members to be featured on Startups and Stilettos. Think of the Entrepreneurista League as your team members in what can be a lonely startup founder's journey. As startup founders, we may not get the luxury of a huge team from day one, but with the League community, you have a built-in support system. It's been proven that the only way you can build a successful startup is with a strong community. If you find yourself in need of that community, there's a place for you in the Entrepreneurista League. Our members are networking, doing business together, and forming real and meaningful connections. Head over to entrepreneurista.com/join to learn more. That's entrepreneurista.com/join. I can't wait to meet you and help you navigate your business journey. Jamie, you have shared so many helpful pieces of advice and some of your stories and journeys. And actually, I love that advice you shared about the naming contest. I had never heard of that. So I definitely want to get that link from you so we can link out in the show notes. But while we have Jessica here, who is a media trainer and PR expert, do you have any questions for Jess?
I have so many questions for Jess. I think like the biggest one is, I know that I tend to answer too quickly when I'm asked a question, whether it's in like a networking group or a PR type of situation, or like in a former life, even in interviews. And what are your suggestions for sort of like taking it in first before you like get your thoughts together and respond?
I think that's a great idea when you are not in a live situation. And if you were to be doing, let's say, a 3-minute broadcast on your local news or on CNN, it might feel like a really long time to you to sit and be quiet, but just one beat might be all you need to set yourself up for a really successful answer. Another thing that you can do is repeat the question instead of saying things like, that's a great question, or I love that question, or let me think about that for a second, because those are just stall tactics. But if you say what the person just asked you out loud, you're signaling to your brain, okay, this is where we are moving this train and I'm going to keep my brain on track.
I love that. Sort of like the, when you meet someone and you say their name back too, like, I need to do both of those things.
Is there anything else that you have on your mind?
I think just like, I don't know. You see all these like successful entrepreneurs and they have this like power pose, and, you know, I'm sure that comes with time and with like confidence and all those things, but I think it's hard to get there. It's hard to like be that person that's so comfortable, you know, in your skin and getting up there and saying like, I'm the co-founder, or, you know, I started this, whatever. It's like not somewhere that I am at yet.
One of the things that you can do in that case is just to practice the most basic questions, like, what made you start this business? Why do you think you're different? How did you get started? So often people stumble on the first question because they're really nervous. They want everything to come out well. They want to do a good job. So they have a hard time with the easiest question of all, which is, you know, how did you come up with this idea? Or tell me about your business. So if you can just practice those and try to get them in nice 10 to 30 second answers, that's another great way to make sure you cover more ground in an interview. Because if your whole segment is 3 minutes long and you spent 3 minutes explaining how you came up with this idea, now you've just taken all of your airtime away. So sound bites are really key to help you tell more of your story.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense, actually, especially because like, I feel like I take a little while to get into the why. And when I get to the why, the reaction is always the same as Stephanie. Oh my God, you just described me exactly. Oh my God, I haven't bought a bathing suit since I went to J. Crew 5 years ago, but I don't get there fast enough. So the sound bites is a really good idea.
And sometimes people say, okay, well, how do I come up with a soundbite? I've never even heard that term before. So what is it and how can I come up with one? If you just were to write out your answer, or when this podcast episode comes out, if you were to transcribe everything you said today and then take a highlighter and highlight the buzzwords that you know you're going to hit every single time, those should be the buzzwords, the bullet points that you walk into every interview with. So now it's less about each sentence that you've memorized and it's more about those key takeaways that you want to get across every time.
I love that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The two of you should definitely connect after this because I have a feeling
I have so many more questions.
Doing a lot of press with the big launch. Jamie, is there a dream connection or collaboration that you're looking to make either through the Entrepreneurista League or through our network that we can help introduce you to?
Well, I saw that Rami Brooke is a member of the league. Is that true?
Yes. So yes, we can definitely. Yeah.
So she, I love her product. I just feel like I always gravitate towards it because it's like happy and colorful and so easy and effortless and like all the things that I look for. But she also started a company in her 40s and had 3 little kids. And I feel like we just have a lot of the same things. Like she had a problem that she was trying to solve. And she was like always, I think, talks about how she's like inspired by confident women in her life and wanted them to like be able to feel a little bit sexy. And I think that like her product, unlike, if it's okay to say, unlike a lot of the product that's out there for apparel, swim, whatever it is like not so tasteful anymore. And her product is like just so pretty and tasteful and feminine. Like it used to be okay when I first started being a designer to just design things that made people feel pretty and happy and confident. And it became about other things, about like being cool and about being, I don't know, on social media with it and on, I don't know, being younger than you are and all these things. But I think it's okay to just like make stuff that makes people feel happy and pretty. She does that. And I think I just like admire everything she's done.
Well, we will do our best to make that intro and connection happen. Jamie, tell us what is next for the business. Tell us all about the launch and where can everyone find you and follow you?
So tomorrow's our first trunk show. It's in Long Island in Port Washington. So this will have happened already, I think, by the time the episode airs, right? Our e-commerce site is shopchangeofscenery.com and it launches the first week of March. And we'll have our first delivery there. It'll be a spring 2022 swim and cover-ups. And then our hope is to go to the Miami Swim Trade Show in July and launch for wholesale around the country, in the United States only, in October of 2022. So our website will be live the first week of March. It's shopchangeofscenery.com. And you can find us on Instagram at shopchangeofscenery.
Well, congratulations on all you have accomplished in such a short amount of time. You were truly able to take what was a hard situation for you, losing your job and the career that you had worked your whole life for and that you thought was going to be the rest of your life, and made lemonade from lemons. better get that saying right. And it's so inspiring. And I think, you know, so many women during the pandemic, you know, did lose jobs. So many members of our Entrepreneurista League community reached out to us because they wanted to start a business because of losing a job or not wanting to go back to work. And you did it. And you are a testament that if you put your mind to something and surround yourself with the right community and resources, you can definitely make it happen. So we are so excited to continue to watch all of your incredible success and are here to help with anything that you need.
Well, you know, I'll be asking for help. So thank you.
That's the best thing you can do. Always ask or you don't get. Thank you, Jamie, for being here. I'm Stephanie.
I'm Jessica. And we're here to help you
put your best heel forward. You've been listening to Startups and Stilettos, the show that highlights your peers in the startup world and meets you where you are to get you through your biggest challenges and towards your biggest goals. For additional episodes, extra content, show notes, and more, visit startupsandstilettos.com. Did you love this episode?
leave us a review and send us a screenshot via Instagram DM at Entrepreneistas, and you can enter to win a one-on-one mentor and strategy session with me. We're drawing a new winner every month, and I cannot wait to meet you.